Ladies and gentlemen, I appreciate the opportunity to hold forth God's Word. The title of my teaching today is Chosen the Few. And to understand what that means, we're going to have to go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. We'll start in 1 Timothy chapter 2. We're also going to spend a little bit of time in 1 Corinthians, because in the book of Corinthians, which is one of the seven church epistles, it's reproof for the lack of adherence to the foundational doctrine of Romans. We're going to find some great truths there. One of those truths are about our calling and how God has chosen us. He has called us to be saints. He has done so many things for us. He's called us unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ. And so this subject about being called, chosen, invited, is huge in God's Word. And to be able to understand more about that, we'll start in 1 Timothy chapter 2, because it's so very special. It's so very important what we have as God's sons and His daughters. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, I'd like to read verse 4. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4. Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. This is God's desire. His desire is for all to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth of His Word. He wants to make His Word known. He wants us to come to His Word and to know it. And that requires salvation. That requires receiving a gift called Holy Spirit. And with that gift, it opens up eternity. And part of eternity is coming into the knowledge of God. Matthew chapter 22. This subject about being called and invited, again, is absolutely gigantic. It's huge. And we have been called. We have been invited into the body of Christ. In Matthew chapter 22, and Matthew is one of the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It was written for our learning, not directly to us, but there's great learning in it, including this verse in verse 14. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 14. For many are called, but few are chosen. Well, this is an invitation of God to salvation and to have access to His knowledge. This is a huge subject. In the Gospels, it's spoken of. Many are called, but few are chosen. Well, what is this few are chosen? Because it says many are called and then few are chosen. That's where we can go to 1 Corinthians now, because I wanted to lay just a little bit of the groundwork about God's desire to have all men come to salvation and to a knowledge of His truth. And that helps define the many that we just read of in Matthew chapter 22. Because in 1 Timothy chapter 2, it says God will have all. And then Matthew chapter 22, it says, many are called. And this word called, it does mean to be invited. Sure. And then few are chosen. And the basic definition of few are chosen means few are actually invited out or chosen out of the invited ones. The invited ones include all who are saved. But the chosen are those that or pulled out of those, that there's a very special reason why the few exist. There's also a great reason why the many exist, and it's all because of God's grace, of course. So the invitation of God to salvation and to have access to His knowledge is, it's big. And we're going to go to 1 Corinthians now, chapter 1. Let's find out more about this called. This invited. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we're going to read verses 1 through 9. And Let's look at this teaching as a precursor to a future study of 1 Corinthians, which we've been working on, and we're going to get moving on in a little bit to some of the things that I've been studying, and then other things from God's Word. But it's so important to know this very first thing, because in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 1, what does God's Word say? Paul called. Called. Now this word called, it's used three times in verses 1 to 10. Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus, it's used 10 times in verses 1 to 10. This is laying the groundwork of the importance of understanding 1 Corinthians about our calling and then about Jesus Christ our Lord. Used so many times in the first few verses of chapter 1. That's why it's critical to understand what this means, to start to get a handle on it before you delve into the whole book. Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God. It's God's will. And Sosthenes, our brother. And Sosthenes was one of the Roman rulers, and now he's a brother in Christ. So it's pretty cool about him. You can read about him more in the book of Acts. Well, the truth here is emphasized that Paul was called and that he's also an apostle. And literally, it's Paul who was called and also invited to be an apostle of Jesus Christ. The calling comes first, the invitation to the family of God. And if you'll remember, Paul met the Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. Quite a meeting that day was. And Paul did respond. He responded by accepting the invitation. He got born again. He received the gift of Holy Spirit. And then his real life began of moving God's Word and being part of the family. And it was through the will of God. And this apostle of Jesus Christ is to give a message. It's absolutely necessary for these gift ministries to be in existence in the church. It's not a subject I'm going to teach a lot about today, but an apostle is a gift minister. One gift minister, it brings new light to the generation. It's part of the definition. There's more to it than that, of course. And this holding forth God's Word, what Paul was called to, it's something that is by God's design, God's will, God's wishes, and it is a containment of that which God wants to have made known, His Word. Invited to the family of God, a specific responsibility in the family of God, a gift minister of being an apostle, and then what he holds forth, which is God's Word. This is all involved in this calling. Verse 2 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1 starts to speak more about this. Verse 2, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus. And you'll see Jesus Christ's name come up 10 different times here. Then it says, called to be saints. So Paul is called to be an apostle. And then the church of God, them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. Sanctified means to be set apart. With all that in every place, call, there's the word call again, upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by Him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift. And this is speaking of the ministries and operation in the church, so that you lack in nothing, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's more than one coming spoken of in the seven church epistles. There's the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and then there's the come behind in no gift. There is a necessary thing that needs to come into the body of Christ, and that is gift ministries in operation. That is the holding forth of that which is absolutely critical to help the body of Christ stay together until the gathering together. And that is a great study to do. If you ever want to study more, just study the word coming and come, like it says here in verse 2 and verse 3 and following. Yeah. And then in verse 8, who shall also confirm you unto the end, blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is what I just spoke of. The ministries in operation, helping the believers stand on God's word. Blameless. Blameless. We are blameless before God. His word shows us that. It's up to us to put those words on and believe what they say. And today we'll see more about that. And if we walk out of this room today with anything, it's that we are blameless. Made that way. By what Jesus Christ accomplished. Verse 9, God is faithful, by whom you were called or invited unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So this word called is used here. The word Jesus Christ is used. We are called to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not called to serve man or man's dictates. We were called to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. That's one of the reasons, without going any more in depth here, which explains well in Corinthians, but that we're called to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. It's part of our calling in the family of God. Sure, as we wait for Him to come back. The invitation. Let's look at this better understanding of this. Romans chapter 10, I'd like to read verses 13 to 15. So if you'll back up a book in the epistles, back to Romans, capitulo 10, Romans chapter 10 and verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's call upon. Well, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Pretty much impossible. And how shall they preach except they be sent? This is the sending. By God's will, by his wish and desire, sent into the body of Christ. Well, I hope they come here. Whatever's needed, that it comes into our lives so that we have everything needed to stand blameless while we await the gathering together. How beautiful, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Good things. We're blameless before God. We've been judged worthy. We're a family. You remember in the Gospels, if you read the Gospels, where Jesus walked on the water and then Peter recognized it was him. He was afraid at first, but he goes, Lord, bid me to walk on the water also to come to you. He says, tell me to come to you. Invite me to come out to you. But that's one of the accounts in the Gospels using this word calling. Well, Peter was called. He called out to Jesus, ask me to do the impossible, Lord. Ask me to walk on the water. That's what Peter did. I'm not going to go into that record. I just wanted to bring it back to mind. Peter was asking Jesus to be allowed to do the impossible, to walk on the water. Do you remember that? Mm-hmm. Well, we called on Jesus to be invited to do the impossible in verses 9 and 10 of Romans, that if thou shalt, Romans chapter 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's the impossible. We call on Jesus to be invited to do the impossible, and that is to receive salvation. What a great parallel that is. Whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, I want you in my life, Lord Jesus. I want salvation. And God witnesses that. He witnesses that we believe God's word. He witnesses that we believe that God raised His Son from the dead, and He gives us the gift of Holy Spirit. Not only that, now it's available to preach the impossible. We preach the impossible, which is now possible, salvation. And how beautiful are the feet of them that open their mouth and preach the gospel of peace and bring good tidings, glad tidings of good things. And that's how they shall believe in Him, because they have heard by those that have taken the time. That's speaking of the few, not speaking of the many. It's speaking of the few that God knew from before the foundation of the heaven and the earth, that they would not only respond to the invitation and do the impossible, but that they would stand for a lifetime. They would believe His word, and they would preach the glad tidings of the good news. That's part of calling. Isn't that wonderful? Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, preaching the impossible, now possible, it gives people something to hear. Gives people something to believe. It gives people something to respond to. Many shall hear, and many shall get born again. But how many respond and actually give it their whole life, their whole all, everything they are and everything they hope to be? That's what I want to step into in the remainder of this teaching. Romans chapter 4, verse 17. Romans chapter 4, verse 17, as we continue to look at invitation, calling. Verse 17, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. This is speaking of Abraham in the Old Testament. Before him whom he believed, even God who makes alive the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Well, what in the world does that mean? Calleth those things which be not as though they were. Well, a quick summation of it is that God's invitation came first when we were dead in trespasses and sins. Dead. We were dead. Now, we had temporal soul life, but we were dead spiritually. Without the gift of Holy Spirit, there is no spiritual life from the gift of Holy Spirit. There is a temporal soul life, but it's not life-giving spirit, not eternal life spirit. When God invited us through His word being spoken to us, which we just read about in Romans chapter 10, the beautiful feet of those that preached, He saw us as though we were. He's always seen us as though we were. That's how God sees us. That's how we are before God. He called those things which be not as though they were. He makes alive the dead. And He made us alive through Christ Jesus. That's part of the invitation. Isn't that beautiful? Yeah. Romans chapter 5. Let's flip the pages to chapter 5 in Romans and let's look at verse 15. Romans chapter 5 and verse 15. But not as the offense. And the offense is talking about Adam's high treason when he blew it big time, caused sin and death and all the horrificness of which we know so well. So also is the free gift of which I speak now, that all mankind was invited to receive, and those that responded have received the free gift, and a few of those have really responded and chosen to stand for a lifetime. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one, speaking of Adam, many be dead. You see the word many here? It's appointed on every man, every animal, every tree, every living thing to die. The only reason that's not, would not happen is if when Jesus Christ comes back in our lifetime, and that's part of our hope, and we really hope that he does, then that we don't have to experience taking the last breath. So when it says by many, if the offense of one many be dead, it's kind of a softening of the word. Everybody's dying. Should Jesus Christ tarry, and when he comes back, all will be made alive in Christ, those that have received the gift of the Holy Spirit. Well, much more, the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. It hath abounded unto many. Now, God's will is that all be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. But many will be saved. Yeah, many will be saved. The few shall be chosen. Out of those saved, few chosen. It's by one man, Jesus Christ, that we were called, invited to join the greatest invitation ever. The invitation to the gift by grace, salvation. The invitation that was preached by words, by men and women that have risked their life to speak that which is impossible. To believe that which is impossible. To believe that which God's enemy thought he had in a bag. That nobody could ever escape death. Well, Jesus Christ fixed that problem. The offense has been fixed. Now it's up to mankind to believe God's word. And the few that respond in the family of God to speak. And I say few because that's what the word says. It could be in the billions of people that speak, but I'm just saying what God's word says, that we're among the few. It is this gift that many have heard about, with it abounding to many of those hearing. The gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. How did it abound? By the speaking. Oh, I think this is beautiful. I think this is so stunning how God made available the reception and knowledge of himself through preaching, through teaching. Well, we need to look at this. We need to look at this because I want to take you to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 now. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, we see a startling truth. We see a startling truth. And we looked at it in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. You remember that we read in verse 2 where it said, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints? Well, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, we get an understanding of what that sanctified means, because we're starting to see a glimpse of called invitation. But in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13, we get more clarification. Verse 13, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Well, and keep, don't go back here, but just listen to this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called saints. Sanctified in Christ Jesus, called saints. We responded to the calling. because we're in Christ Jesus, but we're called saints. We're part of the family that is chosen to do what the few do, however many the few is. And that is to preach the gospel of peace, to teach God's word, to hold forth, to stand on God's word for a lifetime. And it says here that God from the beginning chose us. How? Why? Well, he did it because he knew. Give him credit for his foreknowledge, for him knowing. He did not force and never does force mankind to do anything. Mankind has to make their own decision when they hear through the preaching of God's word whether they are going to believe it or not, and mix their faith with the words from God's word. And as God bears witness to that, I can show you two times, at least twice in the word, where God gives them the gift because he personally witnessed somebody believe his word that was spoken and preached by one of the chosen, by one of the ones that he knew from before the foundations of the heaven and the earth that they would believe. So think about your own self for a minute, you wonderful believers. Think about your own life and what you go through. You can think about the trials, the temptations, the hardships, the mismatch of doctrine that you've heard over the years, some right, some not. You can think about the experiences that you've had, good and bad. And God knew you would believe, that you would rise up no matter what and still believe his word because he chose you from the beginning. Well, we'll look at that. To salvation, to eternal life. And that's just a starting point because you responded to the invitation. I'm not talking about that part. We're moving past Calvary. We're moving into the greatness of the greater depth of God's word now, responding to the belief of more than just salvation, only truth. Sure. Sanctified in Christ Jesus are those whom God has called and invited into his family. From the beginning, God chose us. That means he took us for himself. I want you. You're mine because I knew you would believe. I set you apart when you finally believed. I gave you the gift because I witnessed that you believed, but I knew about it from the beginning. I just knew about it. I'm a very patient God. I'm waiting it out. He took us for himself to salvation by setting us apart with the gift of Holy Spirit and our belief of the truth. He knew that we would believe. God chose us out from among the many. We are beloved of God. Brethren, beloved of God. Sure. What is this from the beginning? What is this? Because it's intricately linked with our calling. It's intricately linked with the things we've already spoken of and seen in God's word. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, I'd like to read verses 38 and 39. Because we need to understand about this from the beginning. Because the closer we get to our finite minds understanding God's infinite, the more that we'll believe it and rise up and be who we are in Christ. Romans chapter 8, verse 38, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities. That happens to be the very same word as from the beginning that we read about in Thessalonians. Things begun. Now God's eternal. He is not begun. And that's probably one of the number one things that we just don't get. How can you be forever? We can't even fathom how forever exists. But we believe it because God says it and we know it's true. And God has no beginning. But anything that has a beginning is what the definition of this word principalities is. There is nothing that exists now that has a beginning that could ever stop us and separate us from our salvation. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Nor principalities, nor powers, nor thing present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from that which God has sanctified us. I called you for mine, and I knew you would believe. Oh yes, there are many that got born again, that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that believe I raised him from the dead, but you are the few. You are the chosen out from among them because I knew you would believe and stand for your lifetime, and you can be proud of that. I've got rewards and crowns and inheritance for you. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from agape theos, from salvation, from our eternal life. It cannot be stripped away from us. It cannot be removed from us. It is ours to have by God's grace, not because of our works, but because of His grace. Oh, don't think you're that powerful that you can remove the gift that God gave freely. It's the free gift, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Anything that has had a beginning in any way will never be able to separate us from our salvation. Well, let me show you in the Word, Hebrews chapter 1. There's actually a lot more of it. I'm just making a point. Hebrews chapter 1, I'd like to read verses 10 and 11. Making a point to the chosen ones. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 10, "And thou, Lord, in the beginning," there's that word again. There's that same word that's in the from the beginning, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, and Romans chapter 8, verse 38. Principalities. "In the beginning, thou, Lord, hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thine hands. They shall perish." There is nothing that has had a beginning in any way will ever be able to separate us from our salvation. Don't even be afraid of the doom and gloomers. The earth is going to be destroyed. We're going to run out. You're going to die. Don't even worry about that. There's nothing, nothing that will be able to separate us from our wholeness, our eternal life salvation. It is completely, completely complete. "They shall perish, but thou remainest." Why? Because God is eternal. "They shall all wax old as doth a garment, but not God. Thou remainest." And He's made us part of His family. We're part of the forever group, the eternal group. We're going to live forever. Going to. We are already doing that. Because if when Jesus Christ comes back in our lifetime, which is part of our hope, it just starts then. There's no last breath taken. That's part of the hope. "Anything that has had a beginning in any way will never be able to separate us from our salvation, our agape theos. No fear needed as to the world ending, the grace administration ending." Oh, we're in the revelation administration. You're going to die. Oh, and all the fear mongering out there. "The ploys and divisiveness of the enemy," whatever the winds of doctrine are spouting and blowing about, all the hot air out there. It's all going to end, they say. Well, thou, God, remaineth. And we will be with God and with His Son, Jesus Christ, forever. Colossians chapter 2. That's all I want to share about the beginning. I wish I could spend hours on it. It's so beautiful in God's Word. But you can. Go look it up. As you deem God's Word more than your necessary food, Colossians chapter 2, I want to share about the chosen, the few, and the conduct. Because we've already laid a little bit of groundwork on what to be invited means. And out of those invited, the few, however many that is, that respond by giving their life in service. And I'd like to explain about that conduct of the few. Colossians chapter 2, I'd like to read verses 13 and a little bit further. Starting in verse 13 of Colossians chapter 2, think about conduct of the few. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. So God states what he did, and he says what he did, and he wants us to realize that we are forgiven. The chosen, the few, we are forgiven. All trespasses. And if he forgave us Adam's, ours pale in insignificance. We have been forgiven all through what Jesus Christ accomplished. And to say that that is not true is to believe that Jesus Christ did not accomplish what God's word says he accomplished when God raised him from the dead. Newness of life. Dead and buried. All the old. Gone. God did that for us. Forgiven us all trespasses. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. And oh, there were many. There were many. The Old Testament believers tried to live up to it. Well, the Old Testament has been abolished too. We walk in newness of life with the epistles that we now have, the seven church epistles. Blotting out the handwriting and of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities, there's that word again. I'm sharing with you another usage of it. He spoiled anything that could ever, in their wildest, crazy imaginations, think that they could separate us from salvation. And there are many attempts out there 24/7 to get people to believe that they're worthless, that they do not have what God's Word says they have. That they cannot be who God's Word says they can be. That they will not have what God's word says they will have, that they might as well just give up on life, that they've done something that even Jesus Christ couldn't fix. What a lie. Jesus Christ spoiled the principalities and the powers. He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Did he accomplish it? Well, yes, he did. He triumphed over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink. Now this is to the few. Okay? This is to the few. This is not to those that still think they have to do some kind of works. This is to the few. I speak to the few. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of the new moon or of Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come. Sure. All the things that have happened in God's word, how the Israelites were to be so that God could be among them, and all the things now, what we have available, what people go through, they're a shadow of things to come. The best it can be now is the best it can be. Being your best Christ-like self, living as blameless as possible, standing on God's word, holding forth God's word. It's the best that you can do at the time that you're doing it. It is. It's just a shadow, though, of things to come. It's just a shadow. It's just a glimpse. But the body is of Christ. Let no man beguile you. Let no man trick you of your reward by making you voluntarily be humble and worship things made with hands. The worshiping of angels. Worship spiritual things other than the one true God. Intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. Any religious act that man says that a man has to do is by a puffed up mind that doesn't understand what they're talking about. because God's word is truth. And what God says stands. And what God says is that we're blameless. And Jesus Christ covered it all. And there's nothing that we have to do to receive salvation. There's nothing that we have to do to keep salvation inside of us. It's there because of what God did through His Son, Jesus Christ. And when we believed His word and accepted the invitation, the impossible, then God did it. He witnessed it and He gave us the gift. And now we can live our life as the chosen out of that. Verse 19, and not holding the head from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increases with the increase of God. And doesn't that just flummox the world that we, no matter how the world is, we continue to have increase with the increase of God, because God cannot be stopped. God is life, and all things that are godly are full of life. And He keeps giving increase in our lives. It's good to have that, isn't it? We don't have to have any fear of lack. We don't have to have any fear of things running out, life being over. No, because we increase with the increase of God. Verse 20, wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? I mean, if you're dead, you can't live that way anyway. You got to reckon yourself dead. Buried and dead, gone. All our old life, the old man, everything, gone. It's dead. God does not see that. Why are you subject to ordinances like touch not, taste not, handle not? Sure. Which are all to perish with the using. Now, does that not show you something, perish with the using? Anything that has a beginning can't separate us. Now, it's going to try to trick us and deceive us into thinking that it can. You better do this. Better not do that. Better wear this. Better not wear that. Better act this way. Better go here on Sunday. Better do it. If not, you may lose your Holy Spirit. You see how that's working? The principalities? Sure. That's the rulers of the darkness of this world. Oh, I just told you another one in Ephesians. Which are all to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men. That's not God's word. Oh, it's vociferous. It's out there. It's big, bold, and brassy, but it's not God's word. It's the words of men. And how can a man take preeminence over Jesus Christ? That's where we started in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and read 10 verses, and we've got 10 times the word Jesus Christ is used. That's who we follow. That's who we serve. Make the choice. Follow men. Follow Jesus Christ. Well, we've made our choice. Verse 23, which things have indeed a show of wisdom and will worship and humility. Oh, they willingly worship. They willingly have humility and act humble. And they willingly neglect the body, not in any godly honor, but they try to satisfy the flesh. They try to satisfy the five senses. And God reckoned the old so bad, He says, we're not even going to try to fix it. I'm giving you a new body. I'm giving you a new life. You've got Christ in you, the hope of glory. In verse 1 of chapter 3, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. The few. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections, set your everything you are and everything you hope to be on things above, not on things on the earth. They don't work. They don't work. And I repeat, anything that has had a beginning has been spoiled by Jesus Christ. Let no man beguile you to think otherwise. The chosen, the few, the Christian, the agape theos salvation walk is at stake. Not salvation, but our walk. Our walk. To walk Christ-like. Salvation, it's in the bag. There's no way that gift of Holy Spirit's going to get ripped out of our body. We're sons and daughters of the Most High God, but I'm talking about our walk before God. I'm talking about the few, the chosen, that decide to learn and take the time to put it on. and live their life like that. In closing, in 1 Peter chapter 2, I'd like to read verses 2 to 9. Because we are as newborn babes. Doesn't matter how long we've been in the body of Christ, from our own viewpoint, from God's, it's been since the beginning, but from our own viewpoint, we're like newborn babes. How often do we feel like that? We have so much to learn. Yes. Well, God loves it too, because He tells us that in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, as newborn babes. Now, tells us right now, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. There's also a section in the Word that we are to move on to the meat of God's Word too. But we're talking about the foundation of God's Word. Don't lose the foundation. Don't let it get stolen from your mind. In other words, when you're hearing God's Word, what's coming to mind? Or lots of cool verses, or lots of the things that the Comforter is bringing to mind, bringing to remembrance as part of its job? Or have you forgotten the recipe? We need the necessary food. Don't forget the recipe on how it was made. That's the foundation. That's the foundation of God's Word. We'll get some more of that food going in, and more of it will come to mind as the Word's being taught. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. Do you want to grow, or do you want to not grow? Well, I want to grow. I want to have increase. If so be that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Have you tasted that? Have you got enough of the salvation message to know that it's by God's grace and not by works? Or do you still walk around by works and just slamming yourself down all the time? No, we don't want to do that other one. We believe it's by grace. We want to walk in God's grace, His favor, knowing that it was what He accomplished through His Son Christ Jesus. It was God's plan of salvation. And Jesus Christ is the author that carried out the author's plan of salvation. He's the secret agent man. He carried it out. And had the God of this world known it, He would never have crucified the Lord of glory. He sits up there in all His own lofty power, and He's been spoiled, rotten. He is no good. And this is how to be becoming and how to walk as a chosen one. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. And then in verse 2, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Our Lord Jesus Christ was one of the few. In fact, He was the first of the few, the first of many. We are His brethren, the first of many. He was chosen of God and precious. And is He not precious? Get to know your Lord Jesus Christ. Ye also, as lively stones, He is the living stone. We are lively stones. We're part of it. We're living stones also. We're part of the building block, the body of Christ. Are built up in a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. God's acceptance of man's sacrifice, of Jesus Christ's sacrifice on the day of Pentecost, was the cloven tongues like as a fire. It was over each of them. Can you imagine what that was like? And they responded by speaking in tongues. In the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 4 and following. To offer up spiritual sacrifices is to replicate that. And you do that with having a gift with them. That's acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. It's available. For some, it's not accessible because they haven't learned enough or they choose not to believe. But it's still there. Verse 6, wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. That was the chief cornerstone. That's our Lord Jesus Christ, the foundation of His life, what He did for us, what He accomplished. Precious, and he that believeth on Him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, He is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same, still the head of the corner. And so there are Christians that don't want to do God's word. There are others that are disobedient. They won't even get born again. That means they're not believing what God's word says, either to the point of salvation, Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, or following what the few are doing, the chosen are doing. Disobedience is unbelief. The stone which the builders disallowed, the same is still made the head of the corner. Jesus Christ still accomplished it. He still did his job. And God has done everything necessary so that mankind can do what our first verse said, that God will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. God's a complete Savior. He did it all for us. Sure. Verse 8. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient. That's what it is. They don't believe the preached word. For whatever reason, they don't believe it. Now, they may believe some of it, but they don't believe other parts of it. Well, we want to believe it all because it's all good. Like newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. There's none of it that's bad. It's all good. It's all good. It's man's belief systems that make it look bad. And that's where the adversary has just about won in religions throughout the world. They don't even know who Jesus Christ is, much less know how to manifest power from on high. And then they get out there and teach others so they can teach others also. Whoa, what a life we have. How great it is. They stumble at the word, whereunto also they were appointed, because God knew that they would believe. He knew that they could believe. And those that are out from among are the ones that have responded in a greater way in the family of God. Verse 9, but ye are a chosen generation. The chosen. You're part of the few. This is who you are. This is who you are. You're out of the few chosen generation. You're a royal priesthood and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. That you should do that. Oh, be proud of yourself. Don't look at your five senses. Don't look at your failings, your shortcomings. Reckon Him dead. Reckon Him dead and buried. Don't let somebody try to tell you that you have to do so and so. It's already been done through Christ Jesus. Live free. Live independently. Trusting God for everything, knowing that your salvation cannot be ripped out of your very body, knowing that you have salvation, eternal life, and it's going to come to full term, full completion, that it will not be taken away, and that what God's word says will come to pass. It will come to pass. And if He says there are rewards, there's inheritance, crowns, there is. And He says that you've been judged worthy, then believe it. Something has got somebody to believe something differently if they do not believe that they've been judged worthy in Christ Jesus, because that's what God's word says, and that's an easy pill to swallow. For somebody to not believe that, they've been led down another pathway by some other doctrine. And you can take any of God's word and you can see if the antithesis is there and it's being believed, then that happened. It's slick out there. It's sly. We stand on God's word and we come to it for our truth. But you are a chosen generation, part of the few, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. We've been called. He called those things which be not as though they were. We were not, because we were dead in sins and trespasses. But we saw how that they've been folded over. We've been delivered. We've been forgiven all trespasses to walk in newness of life. And not only that, we're not talking about just get born again and live forever. We're talking about living a life of service, walking in newness of life, walking in the footsteps of our Lord Jesus Christ while we await the gathering together. Yeah. Yeah. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Now, I know that's in Romans chapter 8 somewhere. It's just not worthy. Why do we make it worthy? Well, it'd be by believing a lie. You have to do something. You're not doing enough of the something. Oh, let it go. See yourself as God sees you, as newborn babes, chosen by Him, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people designed to show forth light, lively stones, precious. God, from before the foundation of the world, He knew we would believe. He set us apart for His family. We responded to His invitation to the family of God. Lord Jesus, bid me to walk on the water. Do the impossible. And God did the impossible when we believed. We had to do the believing, but there were no works attached. And God did the impossible. He gave us the gift. He reconnected Himself with mankind. Can you imagine how He felt when Adam did what he did and God couldn't communicate like He was able to? He had to wait too, because He honors His word. Further, we respond to God's calling to be an active part of His family, believing in His ability. We believe in His word and in His Holy Spirit ability in each of us, that we can carry out our responsibilities within the family, and that we come behind in no gift. You see the need for those that are standing on God's word that can help take care of things and slap down those things that are not good? Yeah, by seeing spiritually. Oh, that you may come to the fellowship. Bring it on. Thank you for your help while we await the gathering together, that we become behind in no gift, blameless unto the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is the Lord Jesus Christ that we serve, not some man and not some man-made doctrine. Not man and not his ordinances, not his rules, not his regulation. Man can't find his way out of a wet paper bag. Through God's foreknowledge, God knew that we would believe in the salvation and that we would stand for a lifetime holding forth His word as His chosen. Yes, we are the called of God. We are chosen. And I thank God for each of your lives that we stand together like this. What a beautiful day it is to be alive. Amen. Amen.